بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان والحمد لله تملأ الميزان وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأان أو تملأ ما بين السماوات والأرض والصلاة نور والصدقة برهان والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك كل الناس يغدو فبائع نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الحمد لله respected honorable mashayikh ulama dear brothers all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with iman put us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send us in this world for a short while and given us this beautiful and perfect deen of Islam, alhamdulillah. We make dua Allah keep us steadfast on iman, steadfast on deen. At that critical time of maut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us with salamati of iman, raise us with iman, ameen. In the hadith sharif which I have recited before you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, At-tuhuru shatrul iman, taharat, paki, purity is half of iman. Taharat is a very, very big part of our deen. From here we can gauge how important taharat is that Nabi alayhi salam has mentioned it to be half of iman. You know, in current times, without electricity somehow we can still manage. But if there's no water, it is extremely difficult. Because from the time we wake up in the morning, our day starts with taharat, water, 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 all the time. Our deen teaches us the best form of taharat and hygiene. Ulama have mentioned, Ibn al-Arabi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that for istinja alone, there are 30 different adabs and etiquettes. What a beautiful deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. What a perfect deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. A person came to Salman radiallahu anhu, non-Muslim, and he asked mockingly. He told him mockingly that, لَقَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَةَ Mockingly, he said, your Nabi teaches you all everything, even how to use a toilet you have to teach all. That's such a lowly thing, dirty thing, like toilet also your Nabi have to teach all. Salman radiallahu anhu never got angry or anything, said Ajal, yes. That which he regarded as a lowly thing, for us it's a thing of honor that our Nabi taught us. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never taught us that each one will be using their own discretion and we see what's going on. They say, perhaps many citizens of the country misunderstood what one of the old presidents in the 90s said when he said, I want peace in the land. So now they misunderstood and I don't know what and what they started doing. So how much we must appreciate it. Then Salman radiallahu anhu told him few etiquettes of istinja that he told him Nabi alayhi salam forbade us that we face Qibla while relieving ourselves. Nabi alayhi salam forbade us that we use the right hand when making istinja, etc. So this is so important. Just istinja alone got so many adabs. What a beautiful deen. Hazrat Damat Barakatum was mentioning yesterday after Asr. Very, very important to keep in mind for all of us that when making istinja is not just a question of pouring water or if you're using the sprayer to spray water. together with pouring water and spraying water, if you're using the sprayer, together with that practical physical washing is also necessary and very, very important. So if a non-Muslim just has to ponder on the taharat of our deen, is enough to convince him of the beauty of our deen. Then further, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. Reciting alhamdulillah fills the scale of deeds with rewards. Wa subhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'an. O tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal-ard. Reciting subhanallah, reciting alhamdulillah, it fills the entire space between the heavens and the earth. One is in the year after, that alhamdulillah which we utter here will weigh very, very heavily on that scale. It will fill that scale of deeds. Subhanallah walhamdulillah fills the entire space from the heavens to the earth. One is just saying it, but let us ponder what it means. Just to utter subhanallah, alhamdulillah, what is the distance between the heavens and the earth? That entire, Nabi al-Islam is explaining us, that if the reward of that subhanallah and alhamdulillah were given a tangible form, a physical form, it will fill the entire space between the heavens and the earth with reward. Understand this with an example. That let us say that if you want to fill the entire space between the heavens and earth, but for example, take a watermelon for example. Now if we start every available space on the surface of the earth, let us fill it with watermelon. An impossible task. And then when we did it, every space on the earth, then the next level, and the next level, and the next level. And at the end it will be a totally impossible task. How many billions and trillions of watermelons will require? What amount of time, amount of energy, amount of logistics, amount of resources? And at the end it will still be an impossible task. Here, in a few seconds, without tiring ourselves, we can attain that reward. And we can fill that entire space with rewards just by one subhanallah. Minimum time, minimum effort, minimum energy, no cost at all. Yet they are so valuable. Let us say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, full yaqeen that Allah will give us that reward. Not because we deserve it, but purely through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the deen so easy. Ad-deenu yusrun. So on the one hand is the overpowering generosity of Allah Ta'ala. Then on the other hand, look at the overpowering forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. That it comes in a hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yabna Adam, Law balagat thunubuka anana as-sama, thumma astaghfartani, ghafartu laka wa la ubali, O son of Adam. If your gunas were to reach right till the clouds of the sky, in earnest you ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. It won't matter one bit to me. I will not mind at all. One hand, overpowering generosity of Allah Ta'ala. Other hand, overpowering forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Then it comes in the Hadith Sharif, وَلَا يَهْلِكُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا هَالِكٌ. Now, only that person will be destroyed in the court of Allah Ta'ala who is really doomed to destruction. Meaning when that is the case, how kind, merciful, forgiving Allah is. Now it is only a very, very unfortunate person who will be destroyed in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Like for example, a student is given his question paper. Here's your question paper, here's your textbook, here's your notebook, here's the memo, and still he goes and fails. Now who are you going to blame? Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. Wassalatu nurun. Salat is a light and a nur. Salat will lead a person towards obedience and righteousness. Salat will save a person from sins. Salat, the reward of salat will be nur in the year after. Salat creates nur in the heart. Salat creates nur on the face, which will become apparent in this world and the year after. Salat will be a light in the qabr, and it will also become apparent on the pool sirat, the bridge of sirat. The brightness of this light, of course, will be on the quality of one salat. So therefore, we have to make effort to improve the quality of our salat. Improve the quality of our salat. What is the quality of my namaz 10 years ago, 15 years ago, now? How much concentration, devotion, my postures? As Damat Barakatum was mentioning yesterday, that person was reading Salat Deen next to Hazrat. He says that in one posture of Qiyam, 11 times this person was scratching here and scratching here and scratching there. Before Salat, nothing was itching. After the Salat, Salam also nothing is itching. So it's just Shaitan that. So let us see the quality of our Salat. A person asked Hatim Zaid Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali, just explain to me how you offer your Salat. He said, when the time for Salat comes, I make a proper wuzu, perfect wuzu, thorough wuzu. Then I go to my place of Salat and I say, Allahu Akbar, Allah alone knows what goes through my heart at that time. Then I visualize myself. I visualize that the Kaaba Sharif is in front of me. I'm standing on the pool Sirat. Jannat is on my right. Jahannam is on my left. The angel of death is hovering above my head. Then with humility I offer my qiraat, pondering on the meaning. I do my ruku and sajda with humility and submission. I complete my salat then most calmly with the full hope that through Allah's mercy will accept my salat. At the same time fearing that if Allah judges my salat on merit, then I stand no chance. Person asked, how long have you been offering salat like this? He said, this has been my habit for the past 30 years. The person said, I haven't offered one salat like that in my entire life. So salat, effort on the quality of our salat. Salat is the most important duty in the life of a believer. The importance of salat cannot be overemphasized. When it comes to salat, then there is no compromise. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was right at the end, when he was stabbed towards the end of his life, Umar radiallahu anhu became unconscious. Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu came to see him. When he came, he found that Umar radiallahu anhu was covered with a sheet and unconscious. They tried to make him regain his consciousness, but they couldn't. He asked those that were there, how is Umar radiallahu anhu? He said, as you can see, he's unconscious. Miswar radiallahu anhu told them, there's no way you're going to make him regain his consciousness except through Salat. Tell him about Salat and you'll see Umar radiallahu anhu become conscious. They said, As-Salah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, As-Salah ya Amir al-... The time of Salat has come, immediately Umar radiallahu anhu responded. Immediately Umar radiallahu anhu became conscious. They helped him, he made wuzu, he read his Salat. Not only that, he gave da'wah towards Salat. لا حق في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. There is no shame in Islam for the person who leaves out his salat. Salat is the most important duty in the life of a believer. We have to make an effort. There remains no bayn namazi in our homes, in our communities. Such an effort has to be made all the time. There must be no bayn namazi. The Maulana Sahib who came from Raivin for the Newcastle Ishtima, he mentioned at the Markaz. There is a person asked Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, ma hukmu tariki salah? What is the ruling of a person who leaves out salat? Perhaps he might have anticipated, he'll say fasiq, fajir, transgressor, sinner, and things like that. Ma hukmu tariki salah? What is the ruling of a person who leaves out salat? Say Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi told the person, حُكْمُهُ أَن تَأَخُذَهُ مَأَكَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. The hukam of such a person is you take him along with you to the masjid. Make fikr on him, make effort on him, speak to him, encourage him, make dua for him. That is the ruling, that you make effort to take him with you to the masjid. Then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi mentioned an amazing thing. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, كُنْ دَاعِيًا قَبْلَ أَن تَكُونَ قَاضِيًا. Become a da'i before you become a qadi. Invite the person first, make effort on the person first, before you start branding the person, before you start putting all sorts of names to the person. So the fikr for namaz, Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was a very, very great buzurg of his time. One night at the time of tahajjud time, an intruder, a thief got into his house. Very high caliber buzurg of the time. The thief found nothing tangible to steal according to those days. No gold, silver, cash, nothing like that. So Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi told the person that لَمْ تَجِدْ شَيْئًا مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا أَتَرْغَبُ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْآخِرَةِ. You found nothing of dunya to steal here. Don't go empty handed. Rather take something for your akhirat and go from here. So thief asked, what have you got to offer? It was tahajjud time. He told him, tawadda wa salli. Make wuzu, read some nafil salah. The thief complied. Thieves of those days were different caliber. The thief complied. He made wuzu and he read some nafil namaz. Then fajr namaz time came in. He took him along, went to the masjid. People saw unfamiliar face, unfamiliar person. Who's this heck on here? So he said, Ja Ali Yasriq Fasaraq Nahu. He came to come and steal, but we stole him instead. We stole his heart, we made fikr on him, fikr for one person. Salat is the most important duty in the life of a believer. Wa sadaqatu burhanun, and sadaqah and charity is proof. Giving sadaqah, giving charity, that must become our habit. Doesn't mean you have to give it orange notes and blue notes, whatever you can manage, but give sadaqah. It's a proof of iman. Giving sadaqah is a proof that a person is spending his wealth correctly. Because it comes in the hadith sharif to the effect that no person will be able to move on the day of qiyamah until five questions are put before him. One of those questions is, where did you spend your wealth? So giving sadaqah is a proof that a person is spending his wealth in the correct avenue. And we should try and give. Sometimes a person says, but we don't know who's genuine and who's fake. Today there's so many people, they're fake, they're not genuine. Yes, you can use your discretion. Give some more, give some less. But don't stop giving. Keep on giving. As Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was once in Medina Sharif. And a person came begging and Hazrat put his hand in the pocket and took out 100 riyal and gave him just a lot of money. So the person who was with Hazrat said, Hazrat, that's a fake debt. You gave 100 riyals to this person. Hazrat said, I'm also going with fake amal to Allah Ta'ala. Perhaps Allah will take pity on me. So let us give sadaqah, cools the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Through sadaqah, inshallah, save us from our evil, death and mort. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ. Sabr is a means, is an illumination, it's a light. The path of guidance will be illuminated for a person who adopts sabr. A person who adopts sabr in his life will be able to make correct decisions later on in life in future matters. Because he'll reflect, that time something happened, we made sabr, this was a sweet outcome. That time something happened, we made sabr, that was the good that came out of it. So it will help him to make correct decisions later on in life. And sabr is a broader meaning. One is what we say, sabr on difficulties. But sabr is a much more broader meaning. A person, sabr is required to obey Allah Ta'ala in a sense that a person has to persevere. Sabr is required to stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala in a sense that a person has to exercise restraint. Also, keep in mind that for a person to express his difficulty without complaining, that is not contrary to sabr. For a person to, I had a restless night last night. This year I had a very severe flu. Oh, what a toothache. After the procedure, I was in a lot of pain. This winter I feel extremely cold. No problem. That is not contrary to sabr. Provided, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this, izharul bala, la ala wajhi shakwa, fala yunafis sabra. That if a person mentions his difficulty without complaining, that is not contrary to sabr. The complaining was made out from a person's choice of words, his tone. No man, I can't go on suffering like this. No man, how long must I go on suffering? No man, this can't go on. So that mustn't be there. But if a person mentions his difficulty, that is not contrary to sabr. Then Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi proves what he says, substantiates from the Quran Sharif. That he mentions the incident of Ayyub alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Ayyub alayhi salam with all sorts of wealth, children, attendants. Then after that Allah ta'ala tested Ayyub alayhi salam with a serious leprosy-like disease which affected his whole body, except his heart and his tongue. In this condition he spent his time. making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, thanking Allah Ta'ala with his heart and tongue. Because of his condition, even his relatives, friends avoided him. Only his wife took care of him. It remained like that, some say 7 years, some say 13 years, for a long duration of time. So Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi say, to mention one's difficulty is not contrary to sabr. As long as one does not complain, then how he proves it from the incident of Ayyub Alayhi Salaam. Did he say Ayyub Alayhi Salaam said, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. Ayyub Alayhi Salaam called out to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, I have been afflicted with difficulty. Yet Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. We found Ayyub alayhi salam to be a very, very patient person. Well, Quran hujjatul laka aw alayk. Quran Sharif will be an evidence for you or an evidence against you. If you practiced on the Quran, read the Quran Sharif, respected the Quran Sharif, made amal on the Quran Sharif, it will be a proof for you. But if you ignored the Quran Sharif, did not make tilawah, did not practice on the Quran, did not respect the Quran, then the same Quran Sharif will be a proof against you. Quran Sharif must be our daily habit. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, tilawat of Quran Sharif, so important. Nowadays it's getting less. That sometimes the children in the maktab, in the madrasa, we ask them after Ramadan, how many of you all made a full khatam? Some years back, many, many hands would go up. Now when you ask them after Ramadan, very few hands go up. Yet this year, part of the holiday was, part of Ramadan was school holidays, but very few hands go up. The big contributing factor is this cell phone addiction that is eating all the people's time up. The children, let us see to it, tilawat of Quran must be taking place. Encourage our children also. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, kullu nas yahdu fabayi'u nafsahu, that all the people go out in the morning and sell themselves. Every person starts their day, and we go and sell ourselves. A person sells himself to Allah, spends his day in obedience of Allah, or he sells himself to Shaitan, and he spends his day in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, following Shaitan. So Nabi al-Islam mentioned, every person goes out in the morning and he sells himself. Sells himself to who's the buyer? Inna Allah ashtara من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. The buyer is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth in exchange for Jannah. Understand what is this? What a deal this is. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is purchasing something which is inferior. Our lives, our wealth, our possessions. And Allah Ta'ala is paying premium price. Allah Ta'ala is paying Jannat for it. That's not all. After that is as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, okay, I have purchased from you your lives and your wealth, but it's alright, you keep it with you. You keep your life with you, you keep your wealth with you. One condition, use it in my obedience. Use it in my obedience, you got the benefit of your life, you got the enjoyment of your life, you got the enjoyment of your wealth, Jannat is also yours. What a deal. Understand with an example. If I tell you I'm selling my car to you for 300,000 rand, you agree. You gave me the 300,000, I'm giving you the car. You tell me now, man, keep the car, just use it responsibly. It's unlikely it's going to happen in this world, maybe. But this is open for everybody. Enjoy your life, enjoy your wealth, but just use it in my obedience. You got that also, Jannah is also for you in the year after. So now it's either going to be that a person is selling himself to Allah Ta'ala, or a person is going to sell himself to Shaitan. He's going to spend his day in the obedience of Shaitan, and the result will be فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقُهَا. Either that person who spend the day in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then he freed himself from the fire of Jahannam. And that person who spends his day in the obedience of Shaitan, then that person has destroyed himself. So in the life of this world, Allah has given us very, very valuable. Why it's so valuable? In the sense that a person cannot make his akhirat if there's no life in this world. To make one's akhirat life in this world is absolutely necessary. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, two people of one clan came to Nabi alayhi salam. At one and the same time, both accepted Islam. Thereafter, the person, the one person became shaheed, martyred. The other one lived a year, additional year, and then passed away a natural death. Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu says, I saw in a dream that the person who passed away 1 year later entered Jannah before the martyr. So he said, this surprised him when this was narrated to Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, has the person who passed away a year later, has he not fasted for one additional more month of Ramadan? Has he not offered 6,000 or more odd rakats, more salat than the person who was a martyr? So Allah Ta'ala has given us this golden opportunity. Let us appreciate it. Yunus Sahib from Pune, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, Dunya mein ek subhanallah kaho, akhirat mein laakho milega. Akhirat mein laakho subhanallah kaho, ek bhi neki na milega. In the time is now. In this world, say one subhanallah, a person will get millions and millions of rewards in the year after. In the year after, a person wants to say billion subhanallahs or so, it won't bring even one neki whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity. Zindagi Ahmad Baraye Bandagi. Allah Ta'ala has given us this life to make the ibadat of Allah, to recognize Allah Ta'ala, to make fikr and effort for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. Life without the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala will be a means of grief and humiliation. Zindagi ba bandagi khursindagi. Life with the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala will be a means of great bliss and happiness. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.